Well, it's the time of the season. A lot of folks enjoy visiting some local attractions, seasonal attractions, pumpkin patches, apple orchards, things like that. We're going to talk a little bit about some of those activities today with Barb Fuller, who is an Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Human Sciences Specialist in Nutrition and Wellness here for our area. Barb, how are you today?
I am well, thank you. It is fall.
Definitely. And a lot of folks start thinking about things like pumpkins and gourds and apple orchards, all those things that kind of come into play this time of the year. They're fun. They're family activities. But we do need to make sure that we do things always in a safe way.
There are some risks. And, of course, I'm the food safety specialist, which always is something I like to bring up when people like to, you know, maybe they haven't been to a farm, so that contact with the animals, or what you're eating when you get to the farm or the orchard or the pumpkin patch, can all have some risks.
What types of risks?
Well, in the past few years in Iowa, unpasteurized apple cider caused by Cryptosporidium, which is a big long word, and then E. coli, which lots of people have heard about E. coli, and it may be with animals or, you know, from eating rare hamburger or something like that. But both of those have been traced to, again, some of those family fall things that happen. If an orchard is doing cider, pressing their own cider or doing apple juice, they need to make sure that they're pasteurizing it to kill those potential bacteria that can make you sick.
How would folks know if what they're consuming is pasteurized or not?
Well, you just need to ask. It could be on the label if it's a fairly big orchard and they're also selling to grocery stores or roadside stands. It would have to be labeled and it would have to be pasteurized. If it's a small operation, they may or may not. So just ask if it has been pasteurized. If you take it home, one way you could actually enjoy it if you aren't sure is you could just bring that to a boil at home and then cool it. Lots of people like hot apple cider anyway, so if you don't want to drink it really boiling, but bring it to a boil and then cool it down, and that should kill any potential bacteria or most of the bacteria that might be in there. Milk is a little bit different. If you're visiting a farm that, you know, is just giving you warm milk from the cow, that's unpasteurized. If they're selling, you cannot sell, it's called raw milk in Iowa, so that's something they can't sell and you can't take it home and do anything with it. But sometimes somebody might say, you know, I'll just milk the cow and you can see what warm cow's milk tastes like. For people who are in pretty good condition, their immune system is up to date and you aren't at either end of the age spectrum, that's probably not going to hurt you, but just making sure that you're doing everything to keep yourself safe is always good.
You bet. Well, when it comes to a lot of different types of food illnesses like that, a lot of times folks think that, oh, I don't feel well here today. I must have eaten something bad yesterday. But a lot of times it takes a few days for the symptoms to pop up. I know E. coli takes a few days. Cryptosporidium, what's that? Is there a point when we usually start to see the symptoms?
Well, you are right. A lot of them vary, and it is usually 2 days to maybe a week. There are some that take considerably even longer than that to make you sick. And some of those things, E. coli included, is once you have it and you think you've recovered, you're probably still contagious. So you need to make sure that you're getting proper treatment. And it is true that lots of people say, oh, it's the last thing I ate. We have a reporting system in Iowa now that's working out really well. It started in October of 2016, so just right at 3 years now, that really has helped trace back where some of the people are getting sick and what they could have eaten or had to drink that may have made them sick.
All right, very good. And you kind of touched on it a little bit, but does it matter much if we're younger, older, in good health, not quite so good health? Are we all at the same risk?
No. People younger, usually preschoolers to maybe age 9, and older adults age 65. It's not a real hard, the minute you turn 65 is your immune system quits, but it takes a few years for your immune system to develop for young children. And as people get older, like everything else, you don't run as fast as you did when you were 20. Your immune system doesn't work so well, so it has trouble fighting off the bad bugs. And then anybody in between can have a compromised immune system, and it doesn't have to be as anything as big as like chemotherapy or heart transplants. If you've recently been in the hospital, or maybe you even just took an antibiotic for something else that kills the bad bacteria and the good bacteria that kill the foodborne bacteria. So anybody could be at risk, but generally if you're, you know, younger and pretty healthy, your immune system is in pretty good shape. Other people may have compromised immune systems from other chronic diseases that you aren't even aware of. They may have, you know, ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease or other things that they're having treatment for. So if you're the producer, you just can't say, oh, yeah, I'll just make sure people are 20 years old when they drink the apple cider. So making sure that all the products are safe if you're the producer, and if you're consuming them, making sure they're safe for yourself.
Sure. And I would suppose that the severity of the illness is different in different people, too. So
it is. And some it varies some by which bad bacteria you've come in contact with. Some of them, it doesn't take very much to make you sick. And some of them, it takes a little bigger dose, if you like to think of it that way. And again, some people have better immune systems. Some people just fight off things better than others. So it's really hard to tell.
Sure, sure. Well, and sometimes the symptoms are a little bit different too, because it's kind of the same symptoms as a lot of things that annoy us.
That's right. If we think about a foodborne illness or food poisoning, the classic symptoms that you think about are probably vomiting and diarrhea and stomach upset and all those. Sometimes there's a fever. But generally, most of the time, it's going to upset your GI system. So people will say, oh, you know, maybe something I ate, or maybe I got something. And actually, that's norovirus is pretty common, especially in the winter. Sometimes it's been called the winter vomiting disease, which is always pleasant. But norovirus is the 24-hour flu. People say, oh, I had the 24-hour flu. Well, it's probably norovirus. That's the one, you know, cruise ships that come in with 400 people sick. It's because norovirus spreads really easily person to person.
Yeah, absolutely. And while we look at that stuff as kind of being sometimes more of an annoyance, it's a couple of bad days, it can be serious, especially if you run into, you know, things where you're getting exhausted, things where you're getting dehydrated, or if you're not in good physical shape to begin with.
Exactly right.
With regard to some of the things that we can do, we touched on those earlier too, but if you're visiting a farm or those types of places where there might be animals you might be petting or coming in contact with, I suppose just washing your hands is the biggest thing.
That's right, with soap and water. Hand sanitizer is not very effective. In fact, I think I just heard on the news recently that now they're not even recommending that for flu. The only thing it's pretty good at doing is maybe getting some of the cold viruses out of the way, but any of the foodborne illnesses, so like E. coli or salmonella, just plain soap and water. And, you know, just every, you know, petting zoo or farm hopefully would have a hand washing area set up. You can make a portable hand washing setup yourself just with a jug of water and some soap and paper towels, and make sure that you're washing your hands with soap and water and not relying on the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, those hand sanitizers, it seems like everyone has one handy these days, and they are a nice touch, but they're not the end-all to be-all.
That's right.
All right, very good. So, be aware of those conditions, and get out, have some fun this year, but do ask the proper questions, and make sure you know if you're going to be ingesting some things, too, enjoying some treats or a little apple cider, something like that. Make sure you ask the right questions and look for the right types of information so that you know. I'm sure treatment when you do get sick isn't the easiest thing in the world, either.
That's right. You know, if it's a trip to the doctor or urgent care or the emergency room, nobody wants to do that.
Yeah,
so making sure that you're protecting yourself and making sure that, you know what you're eating or drinking when you're there visiting any of those great fun places to be in the fall.
You bet. Yeah, you can choose to ride it out, but that's not always fun either, is it?
No, and like you said, some people may get really dehydrated or have other severe consequences, so nobody wants to take the chance.
Yeah, no, we don't want to discourage you from going out and having fun. But just in any, like in any other situation, anytime you are enjoying something maybe that someone else prepared, just make sure that the proper precautions are taken. And then the whole family gets to come home, have a great experience, and come home happy and safe.
That's right.
Barb, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the fall.
Okay, you too.